Hey, what's up? It's Michael Yo, Tara McNamara. 15 minutes of film. What are we covering today?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
Now, you have the review on that today.
I do have the review on it. Would you like me to start this review on 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I would. I'd like to get your thoughts on it, and then I want to talk about why this movie is extraordinary and is creating a subgenre of films.
Okay, so I will say this. J.J. Abrams was not on set one day because he was shooting Star Wars.
Right.
At the time I learned that. He would watch the dailies every day. The director, Dan, I forgot his last name, Trachtenberg maybe?
Uh-huh.
Dan Trachtenberg would send him dailies, and he said he helped out so much J.J. Abrams with sound. Because when you see this film, it's really about the sound, which creates the environment of this film. Yeah, I will say the opening 15, 20 minutes is phenomenal, and the car wreck scene is great. There's a car wreck that happens, and the way they do the car wreck into opening credits is incredible.
And so this film is about, it sort of lives in the universe of Cloverfield.
It does and doesn't. I interviewed John Goodman. I interviewed Mary, the lead actress in it. I interviewed all the people in it, even the director. Nobody said it's a sequel.
It's not a sequel.
It's a companion film.
Right, but it takes place in the same universe, correct?
It does and doesn't. That's just weird.
Without
giving too much away, and see, that's the problem with talking about this film. You can't really give a lot away. They just premiered it last night. I've seen write-ups everywhere about it, but, you know, it depends how much you want me to talk about it.
And I assume that if you clicked on 10 Cloverfield Lane, you kind of know what it's about. But it's about a girl who wakes up in a bunker and is told that there is something, there's a monster, there's something out there that could get her. She needs to stay inside. And she doesn't know if the monster inside protecting her is better than the potential monster laying outside the bunker.
Yes. And I will say John Goodman is phenomenal in this film. Like I asked him, I said, man, I didn't know you gave such a mean face, because his face looks so mean in this film. He was like, that's my resting bitch face. You know, he goes, you know what? He says, everywhere I go, people always ask me what's wrong with me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, I just have this look on my face of unhappiness everywhere I go. But he says, I'm really happy. It's just I have a resting bitch face. So when people ask me why I'm unhappy, that makes me unhappy. So then I really get angry, you know?
So I will tweet my review out with this. I'm actually seeing it tonight.
Okay.
You, because you get to interview all the stars.
That's right.
See it super early.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that I want to talk about, so what is your, like, out of 5 stars, what do you give it?
I will give it...
Five back scratches?
No. 5 back. I did scratch my back 5 times. No, I will give it, I'd say 3.5.
Okay.
Which isn't bad on my scale.
Okay.
You know, like Revenant to me was like a 4.5.
The Revenant.
That one too. That Leo movie. It was a 4.5. You know, I wish we could talk about the Sacha Baron Cohen movie now. That movie, for ridiculousness, I give a 5. That movie is freaking hell. But we'll talk about that some other podcast. But I will say it was 3.5 leaning towards 4.
Okay. All right. Well, so
But it depends. It depends. If you're a sci-fi fan and you're a nerd and you love Cloverfield, you might not like this one.
Well, I would say that is probably where you'd put Cloverfield, you know? Like, Cloverfield was good. It wasn't amazing.
No.
You know, but it was fresh. It had a fresh angle, and it felt like something we hadn't seen before, or at least in a really long time.
This gives the kind of like Room. The movie Room.
Yeah.
You're stuck in a room, a cellar, the whole movie.
So
I don't want to say the whole movie.
So in 15 years, this will become a Broadway play. Is that what you're saying?
It might be. Once the zombies take over and everything like that. But no, you stay in one room. There's no, like, the original Cloverfield, the camera jerks. You know, it's a POV type of video.
Right.
This is locked on camera shooting it. It's a movie.
Yeah. You and by the way, that's an evolution, because I think that people did not like that about Cloverfield, how shaky cam
it gave people, it got people sick, motion sickness.
Well, what I want to kind of get at, though, what I think is interesting about 10 Cloverfield Lane is that it's the beginning we're seeing of creating a franchise within a universe, but not in the ways, not in a sequel kind of way. I mean, so I think we have sequels, of course, and we have universes, of course. Now we have the Marvel Cinematic Universe, DC Universe is just getting going.
Yep.
Superman versus Batman, or is it Batman versus Superman?
It doesn't matter. In my head. They're versing each
other. We've got the Star Wars universe, and then we have spinoffs, right? We have like Puss in Boots coming from Shrek, Get Him to the Greek, Evolve from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, This Is 40 coming from Knocked Up, Minions from Despicable Me. So where you take characters that people liked, maybe more minor characters, maybe the supporting characters, and give them their own film. And so, and that there's been a lot of success in that. But I think this, this is the first time, or maybe the second time, we've had a totally separate movie with totally separate characters about one event. So, you know, and please, by the way, if I'm wrong, tell me in the comments.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, like put it in the comment section right now. Tweet me at That's Tara, because I want to know. So, but what I'm saying is the Bourne movie with Jeremy Renner, when he was kind of taking over the Bourne franchise, that film has like a, like there is an, you know that Matt Damon's Bourne exists, but he's not in the movie, and it's really about a whole separate mission, right? And so I think that may be the first one we've seen, but I think we're going to be seeing more movies like this.
Well, I would compare this is nothing to the Bourne film, and I get what you're trying to say. But this, Mission Impossible, I mean, the Bourne films, they have a theme. You go in, you beat the bad guy. You know, this is, it has nothing to do with Cloverfield.
Okay.
You know, it's just the name. I mean, I'm giving so much away.
Okay, don't say anything.
But it really,
okay,
if you,
so I'm going to stop you right now because I don't want you to give anything away.
I'm just...
The implication, the marketing of the film, why you're going to go see that movie is that you believe that this 10 Cloverfield Lane is attached to Cloverfield, where the monster comes in and is destroying the city. Whether or not that's true, that is the belief of people who are considering going to the movie.
I will say it's tied together a little.
Okay. All right. Don't give anything away. Please, God.
I will say I was talking to John Goodman. He didn't even know the movie was Secret. So he was telling everybody about it before it came out. You know, he said he had no idea. He said they had two names. Valencia was the name of the film they gave him.
Oh, okay.
When they were negotiating. And then it was another, Cellar was the other name.
Cellar. Oh, well, that makes sense, like Room. But so Valencia is interesting because, you know, Cloverfield actually gets its name from
the street
in Santa Monica.
Where Bad Robot is on.
And, right. And then Valencia, you know, is a town north of, kind of northeast of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fascinating that they keep making reference to that. Well, I think, so I was thinking about this, though. I think that's really interesting. You know, what's coming out is Harry Potter, the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is not exactly a prequel, but rather it's a book that we actually saw like Harry Potter carrying around. It's a textbook that's just referred to. That's all it is.
So Daniel Radcliffe and all these characters are not going to be in it.
They're not going to be in it because their characters don't exist until much later. And so there's this Newt. I want to say salamander, but that can't possibly be right. But there's a character who wrote the textbook, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and then it's about his adventures. So it's sort of taking place in the same universe, and it has all the Harry Potter fans excited to see it because you'll have a lot of the, you know, you're hoping that you're going to get like Easter eggs, you're hoping you're going to get nods to what will be and things that you would see in the Harry Potter movies. But I think this is interesting of how this is coming about. And the reason why you're seeing films like this and why they're trying to create new ways to spin it off, like a Minions or like Deadpool's another great example. I mean, Deadpool, of course, Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool was seen in Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a spinoff, but in Deadpool, we don't see any of the X-Men characters.
Not yet.
Right. So in this one, they're all new X-Men characters from the comic books, but not ones we've seen. So I like this like flirtation with a universe where things are existing in the same world, fictional world. But the reason they do it is because there is a familiarity that gets people to buy tickets. So just knowing like, okay, that Fantastic...
Or a better shot to buy tickets, because there have been some that failed as well.
There have been some that failed. But yeah. I mean, but familiarity is so much easier to sell if you're a studio than it is to extend a brand. Is much easier than to inform everyone and educate them about some story they've never heard before, some, you know, with characters they don't know. That's a lot tougher.
Well, I mean, that's why Hollywood is losing creativity as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the creativity is gone. Everybody's just doing old movies, even television. They're bringing back Fuller House. They're bringing back this.
But this isn't a, it's not a creativity issue. It's not a creativity issue.
Yeah,
it's a
because
selling it issue.
Well, yeah, because they can't create new franchises. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, what's the last new franchise they've created without pulling it back, without going back and pulling out a character?
No, I think you're right, but I'll tell you, but I think there's more to it. It's not that there aren't good original scripts out there. There are. You know, The Big Short is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are great original scripts in Room. But
they don't make money.
They tend to not make money.
Yeah.
Because you have to educate the audience. You have to say, this is why you want to see this movie. Whereas if you're like, oh, it's another Avengers movie. Got it. You know, with Deadpool, you know, they can educate you that this is going to be raunchier and racier and dirtier than any superhero film you've ever seen before. But you're still like, X-Men, superhero movie, got it. You know, like, you understand before, so you're not like, what is this, what?
Well, you know
what is this movie about?
Do you know what I notice about movies, especially in award season, and award type of movies don't follow this model, but when I was a kid, it almost seemed like every movie was set up for a sequel. You know, at the end of the movie, you could say, oh, I could, like, when I first saw Beverly Hills Cop, you know, I was like, okay, I could see a sequel after that. A lot of movies that come out today, you really don't, they're really not set up for sequel. You know, they kind of end.
Really?
That's what I noticed.
I feel like every movie ends with a, and then there could be more.
Name one award show season.
One award movie. Okay.
Well, I'm just talking about movies. Name an awards movie that the most talked about films besides Marvel and Disney and are not set up for sequels. Besides these animated huge films. Name one that is set up for
I hope there's not a sequel to Spotlight.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to see what happens.
But that's what I'm saying is movies, like the movies that are most talked about by people, like in these award shows. I know that's the message of the movie and that's what happened and it's real life. And, you know, but a lot of these movies, they're not set up for sequels or they can't be. So people are investing time and creativity in making movies that can't move on. And that's what creates a lot of movies.
I totally
name
disagree
one movie.
With you. Because you're talking about awards films. And,
but I'm
and
talking
that
about
prestige
any film.
Category is entirely different.
Name another
film. I think, like, for instance, well, Avatar. I mean, Avatar was, like, made ready to go with sequels. Big Hero 6, by the way, when I saw... Okay.
But you
I'm interrupting
but
myself
going,
with a, by the way before I even got to my initial point. Big Hero 6 is a great example. I watched that movie and thought, this is going to be a TV
but
show.
I said,
and it now is.
But
it,
I said,
it was made for that.
I'm not saying animation. I said, take out the animation in the Marvel films and the Disney films.
Then what films do you have left? Alice in Wonderland is a great example, right? Alice in Wonderland, that was supposed to
I'm
be a
talking
one-off,
about
and they find ways to make sequels once it makes money.
But I'm talking about movies with not attached to something else, like new characters. Alice in Wonderland.
Paranormal movies.
Huh?
I mean, paranormal movies. I think.
Okay, paranormal movies given.
I don't think, when I see a movie, I feel like it's rare that a door is closed. You know, there rarely is this Titanic situation where, like, and then they all died. You know, like, that doesn't happen that often. You know?
I guess, or maybe the movies are just so bad and never get sequels.
I mean,
you know?
look at
Ride Along too.
Yeah, Ride Along's a great example. Like, that's a comedy, and but you know, they're definitely leaving room when they made Ride Along just in case.
Yeah.
I mean, Get Hard, I think they left room for a sequel. And they make all movies now with an open mind to sequels because that's the dream. If you're a studio,
well,
that's the dream.
Here's what's interesting, and I will give this away about Cloverfield.
No, don't. Please don't. No, don't.
Why?
Don't do it. Don't. It's not that important.
All these people can read all this stuff.
No, it's not that important. Don't spoil
it.
It is important. I'm seeing it tonight. I don't want to hear it.
But this doesn't give anything away.
You just said, I'm going to give this away.
Okay. It's not a big deal, but okay.
Okay. All right. So I guess here's our end. We're recommending Cloverfield if you like that kind of thing.
If you're into that, yes, Cloverfield. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and keep your eyes open for more of these situations where they're looking for new ways to extend a brand without, you know, in a different way. So I'm calling it a subgenre. I mean, I was really thinking, like, you could take San Andreas, right? And you could, like, that the earthquake that they portray in that movie doesn't just affect Dwayne Johnson and his family. You could have that same story, but affecting another family, maybe a family who's from San Francisco. You know, you could tell that story over and over again.
You could. But you can't, if The Rock's not in it, it won't work. He's the man.
You see him running past in the back.
Just in the background.
That'd be awesome.
His helicopter just going in the background. People are like, hey, who's this guy? All right, so we both recommend it. You're going to see it tonight. You will
tweet out my response. Yeah, right. And please leave comments if I'm wrong and there's other movies because I want to know what they are.
All right, what's your Twitter again?
At That's Tara.
At That's Tara. Follow me at Michael Yo. I love the Instagram. Hit me up at Michael Yo. We will see you next time. 15 minutes of film. Download it, subscribe, and like it.